Mate, thanks so much for jumping on the line.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Joe, let's right off the bat, how have you been enjoying the challenge of coaching in the NBL so far?
Oh, wow. You know, like, I've loved every minute of it. You know, like, in spite of our record, you know, like, it's been a great learning experience for me. The competition level, the league, the adjustments the coaches have made, the physicality, the referees, like, you know, well, maybe not the referees have been the most enjoyable part, but everything else has been, you know, like, they let the guys play. So, you know, like, it's just a very good league, very competitive, and I've enjoyed all aspects of it. Just on a learning curve for myself, and then just being a part of a league that I think is really about to be on a huge upswing here.
Well, Joe, speaking about that learning curve, I mean, we all know that obviously being a head coach of a professional basketball team is a lot different than being the assistant or development coach. What have you found to be the biggest adjustment so far?
You know, I just think, like, just trying to put my mark on the team without totally, like, changing, you know, the whole formula. You know, obviously, I think Damian had a nice foundation going here, Coach Carter, and, you know, we wanted to honor that, but also, you know, like, I have some different perspectives and different styles and stuff, so trying to respect where the guys were but sort of put my twist on it as well has been, you know, it's been a work in progress. The best part of that, you know, the guys have been pretty open to the change. You know, we've had some bad luck with injuries and whatnot, but I think rebounding-wise, we've seen some improvements, but we've also seen focusing on some areas we need to improve on. So I would just say, you know, it's been a great experience for me, but the hardest part, I guess, has been just learning the league. The rules are different than the NBA. The way the refs allow the guys to play is different. The taking the ball off the rim is different. So just getting used to the nuances of the NBL has been the biggest adjustment, I guess.
Well, speaking of learning, it seemed like you'd really done your homework on Melbourne United last week, especially early in the game, taking advantage of the mismatch there with Gallup and Blanchfield. How much do you rely on your assistant coaches for opposition analysis, or have you done a lot of scouting yourself?
Oh, man, the assistants have been awesome, man. You think for, you know, literally I met them when I came, which is probably less than a month ago, and it's put, you know, the transition could have been very awkward on their end, but they have been tremendous, you know. We have Jake Jacquemus. I always mess his name up, but he handles the majority of the scout, the pregame video. Ben Knight, who's, you know, like, who's been awesome. He does the individual player scout. So they've been incredible. And I think too, like, just looking at the teams themselves on film and stuff, picking up some tendencies and whatnot have been helpful. But they've been tremendous. So I couldn't really ask for anything more in that department of what they're bringing to the table.
Well, tell us a little bit about your life in basketball and your coaching backstory.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, like, I'm 44 years old now, and I started coaching when I was 18. The high school I went to, I started coaching there the year after I graduated. Started in a rec center in West Baltimore doing, like, just grassroots coaching and stuff. And pretty much from 18 to 32, like, I probably lost more money than I made, you know, just pursuing the love of the game. And then just had a couple breaks fall my way in terms of the development that's led me, you know, like, in a different direction, but definitely, like, not anything I planned. None of this is scripted. You know, I was a school teacher in Baltimore for 12 years, so I was happy just teaching and coaching and stuff. But
I'm picturing The Wire.
Right there, in West Baltimore. So, you know, like, that was a great experience in itself, but some of these other opportunities that came my way just sort of fell in my lap. So just been a great ride on my end, and still just enjoying every part of it. And being here is, like, it's still surreal that we're physically here, but it's been a tremendous experience for myself and my family.
Now, your arrival and your first couple of games really captured the attention of the basketball fans across the country, primarily with the sweat towel. We got to ask you about the towel. Well, what's the story with the towel?
Hey, well, the towel, you know, like the towel is taking on a life of its own, but simply because, you know, the first couple of days, like, you know, like, I just have, like, sometimes a tendency to curse a lot. I'm a pathological cursor, so in practice, our manager, Larry Watherson, who's been, like, an incredible, you know, like, stalwart of the program since it started with the Kings, he told me, he was like, hey, mate, you know, like, for the NBL games, it's a $5,000 fine for cursing. And, you know, I thought he was joking, but, you know, like when the...
But $10,000 later.
Yeah, but, you know, like, that's where, you know, I was sort of like, I was so nervous of, like, you know, just cursing. So, like,
right.
I had that as, like, a nervous thing, and, like, sometimes I bit into it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the story behind that. It, you know, like, it was just one of those things that, you know, just, again, just getting used to it. And, you know, part of the transition of just being a head coach in a prominent league and, you know, living up to the standards that the league is set for themselves. So it's been an adjustment. You know, I save them up for practice and get them all out then. And in the games, just, you know, try to keep it to a minimum, I guess.
You got to keep the towel rolling, though, right? Like, it's your thing now. And when you didn't have it a little bit the other night, you buttoned your jacket.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, the thing was with that, like, you know, Larry, the same guy, was giving me towels to match, you know, like, to match the uniforms and stuff.
So, uh-huh.
In Melbourne, it was, like, because that's the other thing, like, I you know, like, I caught so much flack for taking my sport coat off and having a... I was going for the Don Johnson and the Miami Lifeboat that game, man.
You missed.
You know,
it was
going good. Like, you know, like, I thought it was... But when I saw it on film, you know, like, I realized, like, why people thought I was going to kebabs and stuff like that. I got it, you know, like, I got the memo from the league about the fine, you know, potential fine next time. So,
okay.
And it's just all, you know, like, just, but it was so hot in there, and, you know, like,
yep.
my jacket was drenched, so, you know, like, just live and learn, you know, like, I'm actually here with our CEO, and he's been giving me some fashion tips and whatnot, so, you know, like, that'll continue, you know, like, you know, that you know, that all that stuff is great, you know.
Uh-huh.
I think that you have to project a certain image and stuff as a head coach, especially with a franchise like the Sydney Kings, but
for
you
sure
know, for me, I'm just as comfortable, like, you know, being the fattest ball guy just going crazy on the sideline. So, you know, like, I don't think I'll ever be mistaken for maybe like the Dapper Dan that Dean is in Melbourne.
No,
his style is pretty impeccable, but, you know, like, you know, maybe, who knows, man. I'll continue to work at it, and
that's it. You might have to get Jay Chillington to just throw you a couple points.
Yes,
he's
indeed.
Always very
indeed.
Well dressed.
Indeed.
But, see, like, well, there is another. Well, see, I have a problem with Josh because, so I came, you know, like, I came over as assistant. I had two pairs of black dress pants and some black shoes, and so when they said you got to wear a suit, I was like, well, you know, I don't know where to get it. So they, you know, like, the couple guys that work that are big fans of the team hooked me up with a great, great blue suit. Josh comes to the next day game with the same suit on. So, you know, he sort of was like biting my style, you know. So I don't even know if I can, you know, rely on him for fashion advice. Cause he was sort of following after me. But no, he's offered to dress me up a little bit. But I'm from a different generation, like, so, like, the skinny clothes and slim cut and stuff like that, like, It's not really comfortable for me. So, you know, we'll find a middle ground at some point.
That's it. All that stuff is secondary anyway, isn't it, Joe? But
no question.
You guys experienced a really topsy-turvy round 11. So let's start with a few of the positive. And how big was that win over Melbourne for you guys?
Oh, you know, it's funny, like, because I think, like, the thing that we talked about today in practice is the four top teams in that stretch. So we had a pretty tough schedule there with, like, a lot of games in a week. So it was great for me, like, to jump into it. But we played New Zealand, Perth, Melbourne, and Illawarra back-to-back-to-back. And every one of those games we legged after the first quarter. So I think it showed, like, our game plan, like, coming into the game was strong. But Melbourne, I think the thing that happened there is – you know, like, guys didn't fold. That second quarter, our defense was so atrocious. You know, like, so, you know, I had to turn the microphone off at halftime because I would have probably, like, I would have lost my house if they heard the halftime situation. But, you know, like, the guys responded so well, like, defensively. We played them straight man-to-man, and, you know, like, I was just very impressed with that. But then almost as good as we played defensively in Melbourne, we were that bad in Illawarra, so... Just trying to find some consistency and get something that we can hang our hat on as a team and develop an identity is going to be a process. But, you know, I think that was optimistic for everybody to show, like, hey, when we do buy in and everybody's on the same page, we can be very, very effective as an offensive team. And, you know, it was just something to give us some encouragement, you know, down the road here.
Who needs to step up now that Julian Kazoo has gone down?
Oh, man. You know, like... you know, we were going through the waiver wires of available 7-foot Australians, and I'm trying to say there's not too many that are in playing shape and that type of thing.
Yep.
So, you know, I think it's unfair because with the type of player he is, he's such a multi-talented, versatile. I compare him to like he's the Paul Gasol of like the NBL, just so multi-skilled, not really like a banger, but just, you know, just a more of a finesse player that, you know, was buying into the rebounding and stuff. And I just think collectively, everybody's got to pick up the slack. Mm. You know, if it was a one-for-one thing, I think we'd be in great shape. But I just think everybody collectively has to just rebound a little more. And that was one of our main issues. And the last two games, we out-rebounded our opponent. So losing him is sort of a setback. But, you know, I'm confident, like, Angus Brand has been playing pretty well. And hopefully we get Jeremy Hill rolling and, you know, Damian and or Josh back soon. So collectively, everybody has to pick up the slack for him.
Joe, you're a guy who's worked for many years with young players on the fringes of the NBA. Where do you think Marcus Thornton is at right now?
That's a great question. You know, like, and I think he's very much a work in progress because, you know, like, his style of play sort of is goes against the grain of what the NBA is going to now. Do you think the NBA right now is pretty much for a guy in his position is catch and shoot, the knockdown three? If that's not there, you know, attack the rim. And if that's not there, create for others. And he's been a pleasure to coach. I can't say that enough. Like, he's been open to my tough love with him and, you know, trying to change his game a little bit to get him ready for the NBA. But I think also, too, he's 22. He came in here as more of a complimentary player to Josh, you know, like, and that was the role he's brought in as. And trying to make him the go-to guy, you know, like, he might not – he's our leading scorer, so he's been productive. But I think one thing I've seen with him defensively, he's been very, very effective defensively. The Melbourne game was probably the shiny moment for him because Goldin, who's probably like easily like the best offensive, like just he's got a very, like, you know, he's nasty. He's got a great game, but Marcus and Deion Prewster like combined to hold him scoreless in the second half. So I think he sees where he has some room to grow and, you know, maybe some shot selection and not settling for pull-up jumpers. But the main thing I want him to focus on is just really just attacking that rim because he could beat guys off the dribble. He yanks the ball back and sort of bails them out. So just getting him to be more aggressive and is a goal of mine. And he's been open to it. And I know I get on his nerves, but he's allowed me to coach him. And, you know, I just see some growth in his game. He's had a couple games here where he's had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and, you know, like, just being a more all-around player instead of just being labeled as a straight scorer, I guess.
Joe, there's a fair bit of doom and gloom around the Kings at the moment, you know, with the losing record, injuries to key guys, moving to the smaller venue. So what would be, I guess, your message to the Kings fans ahead of this week's home game against New Zealand?
Oh, you know what? I think the doom and gloom is on the people outside of the circle. I think outside of the circle, like, if they saw the attitude of the team, like, we practice at 9 o'clock, 8:15, the whole team is in there working. And, you know, like, there's nobody that's even considering throwing the towel in. So I think to the fans, it's just, like, stick with us. We're going to go out there and leave it on the court. And, you know, as a coach, that's all you could ask of the players. And I think, you know, as we get some pieces in place and get some stability with the roster and guys are able to settle into what I'm looking for, I think we're going to get some more wins here down the road. But obviously, like, you know, with Steve Markovich, Josh, and Jules, that's pretty much your three main positions where these guys are out. So, you know, but through it all, I think it's an opportunity for a lot of other guys to, you know, Jason, I think, is in a great position to really step up. And, you know, I just think the other guys have to seize this moment and take advantage of this opportunity that's here. So to the fans, I just ask them to stick with us and keep the faith because there's better days ahead. And I think we're starting to build like a winning culture, but that's going to take some time. So just be patient. But, you know, if they don't see the effort, they should be the first ones to criticize guys, boo them. But if the effort's there and, you know, like we're leaving it on the court and the results still aren't reflected in the wins and loss column, just, you know, look at it as a work in progress and just know the better days are ahead.
When is Josh Childress back?
Ah, man. You know, it's funny. I took my kids to his basketball camp yesterday, and you know, like I'm subtly trying to nudge him, but I'm looking, you know, like the thing with that injury, his hand is still swollen, and even in practice, he's still unable to grip a ball with his left hand or even dribble with it, so it wouldn't be fair to try to rush him back, but we're hopeful that he'll be back, if not the New Zealand game on the 27th. We're shooting for the Melbourne game, hopefully on the 30th, which will be the second game of our home stand. So, you know, he's been great, though. He served as almost a de facto assistant coach and has really been positive with the guys and stayed involved and just been very selfless of what he's given the team. So, you know, there's nobody more devastated than him that he's missed all these games. So I know when he does come back, he wants to come back 100% and, you know, like show the fans what hit the team and the league has been missing with him being out.
Yep, we do miss him. And Joe, we just want to say thanks for coming on for a chat. It's always hard stepping onto a moving treadmill, joining a team mid-season. So good luck for the rest of the year.
Man, I enjoyed it, man. It was good talking to you guys, and I look forward to meeting you in person one day.
Thanks, Joe. Cheers. Joe.